Life is a journey. What's your story? Well, I am here today with our Gray Matters podcaster, Brian Perret, with Code Box Campbell Park Neighborhood Association. Brian, welcome.
Thank you, Danette. It is a joy to be here this morning.
You know, you and I were just talking about 2024 and 2025, and as we look towards Women's History Month and International Women's Day on the 8th, tell me a little bit about your journey, the USA Today version, 2024 versus 2025, and then let's talk about the women who made a difference.
Yes. Thank you, first of all, for a platform to share this, because that goes very much in what 2024 and 2025 has meant for me. I'm blessed in that I get these feelings about the world, and if I embrace them and manifest them, then really substantial things come for me in my life. And at the beginning of 2024, Nanette, I really felt that I was meant to tell my story, you know, to my community and to the world, my story of being a survivor of abuse, a survivor of addiction, a survivor of incarceration, my story of transferring from somebody who survives to somebody who thrives. And I'm very grateful for the opportunities that I had in 2024 to do that, and the people in my life that supported me, many of them women, you know, have been the greatest supporters I've had. And as we go into 2025, Nanette, I've also had this similar feeling to start the year that I transitioned from being a storyteller to a beacon. Be that bright, shining light on a hill that nobody can cover, a light that's so bright that you cannot get too far from its reach. I strongly believe in the fundamental philosophy that evil cannot defeat evil. Only love can do that. I believe that darkness does not exist. There is only light and the absence of light. Nanette, you've got me amped up this morning. About a month ago, I was speaking to the Rotary Club at the Yacht Club, and I was inspired by a series of observations and realizations. I grew up in the city, and those of us who grew up in the city and look up at the sky, we don't see a lot of stars, right? We look up and we see gray, we see smog, we see the moon, but we don't see the brilliance that's up there. And I remember talking to a kid who was going out to the country for the first time, and they said, I can't believe how many stars exist in this open night sky. The opening member of this Rotary Club opened with remarks talking about how there are tens of billions of stars in the sky. And that gave me the realization that when I look up and I see a dark sky, what I'm not seeing is darkness, but I'm seeing that light that I can't see. It's not that the light does not exist, but that I cannot see it.
So, you know, I feel that when I look in the sky, I see the women who have been before me. And there are so many of them. There are so many of them here locally who have been before me. And we've lost so many women that have inspired me. Talk to us a little bit about the stars that are in the sky, are women who have passed, and the stars that are here that you feel should be accoladed during this particular month.
Definitely. As we sit here and think, Nanette, I think of five women in the past and in the present who really played a strong part in my life. First and foremost, I think about my grandmother. This woman who got a degree from the university in physical education in the 50s, right? She was a PE teacher and then an English teacher. This woman started competitive tennis in her 50s. Still going strong. I look and I think about what it takes for a woman to have a career in physical education in the 50s and 60s, and I see that strength in her, and I carry that with me. I look at my people in my neighborhood who grew up around me and didn't go to college. They either fell by the wayside one way or the other, and I think of one of the reasons why I'm standing here today is that my grandmother was an educator. Nanette, for me, it was always assumed I would go to high school and then college and then what? I had that gift given to me of this plot, of this path plotted ahead, whereas many people didn't even see high school as in their future. And on my way in education, I had this great teacher, Mrs. Pat Santilli. If you're still out there, thank you very much for what you've done for me in my life. I was, like I said, I was in a battered home, a very tumultuous home. I was brilliant and I was angry. And here Pat Santilli saw something in me. She saw the sensitivity. She saw the brilliance. She saw the way that I use these words. She gave me this small little notebook. And in it said, use this book to continue to grow your gift.
Wow.
That was one of like the first times somebody said, I see greatness in you and I want to support you in going to do that. Like, I wasn't getting that at home. I wasn't getting that in the neighborhood. But here, this little woman who doesn't look like me, comes from a different realm than me, she gave me that.
That's amazing. You know, you just made me remember Marsha Holtzman. I was the first one to go to college in my family. My grandparents came over from Russia. They didn't speak English when my grandmother, I tried to teach in kindergarten. My grandmother had to read a present for the princess. My grandfather slapped my hand and said, women don't read. He read the newspaper upside down, even the Yiddish newspaper. And so all my life, I just looked to women outside of my family. Marsha Holtzman was eventually became principal, but she just said, she just took me under her wing from the time I was in junior high school. And although there was no library in the town, she threw books my way, celebrated reading, you know. And honestly, when I went to apply, my cousin said, you'll never get into a college like Cornell. Well, I got into college, went to Cornell on scholarship, worked full time. And although all of us have journeys, it's usually the women who are the most inspiring. Who else do you have in yours?
And you say that, and I think about the tremendous compassion that I see from women that, frankly, as a man, I don't have. I can't speak for all men, but I don't have that sense of compassion. Like, I've got this black and white thinking that ultimately kicks in. Who knows where it comes from? But, like, as I think about compassion, I think about Dr. Sarah Fatiker. At the time, she was an assistant dean at the University of Wisconsin. When Brian, the man speaking to you right now, was a drunk, not only was I a drug dealer, but I robbed drug dealers. I was a violent person. I was a two-time college dropout, and I was a freshly convicted felon. This woman, who's no more than 5 feet tall, no more than 100 pounds, signed the piece of paper that allowed me to get back into the University of Wisconsin. Not only that, she gave me a job. When no one else would hire me, she made me her assistant. Just her and I, this small little woman and this giant black man who has a history of violent behavior, working, she saw something in me. She wasn't scared of me. She saw the potential. So many people looked me over. So many people said, no, I gave up on myself. I thought my life was over, right? Like, I knew what it meant to be a black man with a felony record. Like, there's no future from that. But she saw something else, and it's that compassion. And under her, I got a bachelor's degree in chemical engineering with distinction. I got my master's degree in biomedical engineering. I became a peer-reviewed author in the field of tissue engineering. And none of that would have happened if she hadn't signed that paper and she hadn't seen me for not what I was and the hurt that I was, but the diamond that was within.
Wow. You know, I really think about the women who struggled, you know. You had a struggle, other people struggle, but what about in the 1900s, the women, Marie Curie, Harriet Tubman, all of the women that, and I'm not talking about the suffragettes, I'm talking about women who pushed against the barriers. You know, I think about Gwendolyn Reese here in St. Pete, a tremendous, you know, just put her heart and soul behind the documentary Race that just was done, has made such a difference. Tell me about some of the women you've met here. You were just at the Chamber for their annual meeting. Tell them about some of them that you think are really making a difference and should be celebrated as we go into Women History Month and International Women's Day March.
Yes, definitely. And before I do that, I want to stress the importance of Women's History Month and women International Women's Day specifically, because when we talk about the history and these great women, I think it's important to recognize the truth that all these histories are likely understating the importance of women. Right? Like, history is generally written by men, and men have a history of understating their collaborators, no matter who they are. Right? And so with that, I think it's important to shine the light on the women who are doing great things here. I think about Carla Bristol, first and foremost, who runs the youth farm, who when, you know, Brian was a sad drunk, just, you know, meeting to in St. Petersburg, and I saw her gallery on the Deuces, and I walked in, I was sweaty and I was smelling like vodka. And you know what Carla did? She hugged me. She embraced me. She made me feel welcome. I came to St. Petersburg as a black man who didn't know what a black middle class looked like. For me, it was a fantasy that I saw in Family Matters and The Cosby Show. And it was people like Carla that showed me that people could be accessible, they could be brilliant at the same time, And the way she does both, the way she exemplifies excellence and at the same time serves the community in broad, is something that should be celebrated every day.
You know, the women in the neighborhood associations, Karen Carmichael, the women in the city, Gina Driscoll, the women like Kanika Tomlin, who's one of my, I mean, she's just one of my heroines. She's amazing and involved in so many things during her term as vice mayor, but also still in health equity and other arenas. And then the women who, the unsung women, Brian.
Mm.
You know, I think behind the curtains of everything that goes on right now, there are so many women struggling to be mothers, to make a difference in the community. And you, at Campbell Park Neighborhood Association, you have a tremendously active group of volunteers. Mm-hmm. Talk about how the women bring it together.
Yes. Well, we first and foremost, when we're talking about women leaders in the Campbell Park neighborhood, I have to say Josette Green. Josette Green, who is the vice president of the Campbell Park Neighborhood Association, who, if I am the voice, she is definitely the muscle and the work behind it. The dedication that Josette has shown to the neighborhood, again, is heroic. She has spent hours in the archives digging up the history of all the things in the Campbell Park neighborhood and the gas plant district and I-175. And the things that I've learned from her have been essential in me having the perspective. Right. Beyond that, it's having this eye towards the future and towards community, bringing people together. You know, Josette, my vice president, Deirdre, the secretary, who is also a mother, also on the executive board at NAACP. What we see is we have these ladies who they get involved, and they don't just get involved with one thing. They get involved with thing after thing after thing. They are mothers and they are professionals and they are leaders in their community. And I salute them.
I want to talk about the young women. There's a whole generation. Anna Hummel's here, in our producer today, and from 15 to 40, there is a generation of women who really care. What do you tell parents to cultivate this generation of women who are going to be making a difference and be the history of the future? And you're with CodeBox, which is teaching not just young men, but young women.
That's exactly where I went to. You know, I've got two young ladies upstairs right now, and three of them, up now in my classroom, who are bringing such an energy to what we do here. In working in collaboration, technology of the future is going to require us to work in teams in order to succeed. Right? Gone are the days where there is a lone individual in a dark room creating the next technological marketplace. Like, innovation requires teamwork, and we need people who have diverse perspectives in order to serve diverse clientele. And having women is an essential part of that, because women make up more than half of the population and less than a quarter of the tech workforce, right? So there is something that we definitely need to work on there to serve the bottom line.
Well, you just met Laura Hines at the Pinellas County School District. Laura, of course, was the executive director of the James Museum, has been in philanthropy here, and I can't say the word, but she is amazing. I'm going to say that word because she's tough, compassionate, and smart. Talk to me about Laura and how she is definitely, in International Women's Day and Women's History Month, making a difference.
Yes, I met Laura recently. You know, our relationship is less than a month old. We met at a Chamber of Commerce committee meeting. As CodeBox, one of the things that we do is we try to find and identify projects in the community where we can work and really use technology to help the bottom line of St. Pete. And Laura, as the chairman of the Pinellas County School Board, has some of the same things in mind, and we're actively working with them to use technology to simplify and automate a lot of their processes. I'm really excited about sharing what those stories look like, but I can tell you that I was at John Hopkins Middle School yesterday with Laura and a couple of the assistant vice principals. To see the passion in that room, it fills my cup. So often, as a neighborhood association president, I deal with people who are often dissatisfied. As the president of the Campbell Park Neighborhood Association, often I view the students from John Hopkins Middle School as they're coming and going to school, right? Seen sometimes as a nuisance, as a noise, as being loud children. Being on the other side of that, being inside and seeing the energy and the joy and the passion that starts at the top with the administration and the school board, they are to be commended.
Well, folks, if you've just tuned in, I'm talking to the incredibly gifted Brian Bray.
Ooh, me?
Yeah, you. Also a musician, also a fur baby dad. And we've been talking about women we know here and in the stars for International Women's Day, March 8th, and Women's History Month. Brian, before we go, parting words to our guests. And please, folks, join us for Gray Matters. You can go to RadioSt.Pete.com, and I will have with this broadcast a list of all of his podcasts.
Thank you. I was at a national conference in Nashville two Halloweens ago, and I had the opportunity to speak about developing the workforce and the importance of equity and innovation. After my talk, I was sitting at the table, and a woman who I didn't know, she was a very wise-looking, gray-haired lady, very well put together, obviously an administrator in education, as this was a community college conference, and she walked up to me and caught my gaze from across the room as she's walking up to me. With purpose, she slowly walks up to me, Nanette, and she grabs both of my hands, and she cups my hands in hers. She locks eyes with me, and she waits a moment, and she says, "Son, your words have the power of creation. Use them wisely." To everybody out there listening to me today, your words have the power of creation. With your words alone, you can build empires and make somebody's day today the best day there is. My challenge to you is use your words and make somebody smile. I love you.
For Radio St. Pete, Brian Perret, thank you so much.